Happy Thanksgiving. We're starting to talk about the true meaning of Thanksgiving today, obviously. And it feels especially meaningful to do it on Thanksgiving Sunday, I believe. I want to start with the kind of top quote. Would you put on that one, the screen? It said, we don't deserve bad, but we do deserve good. So sometimes when we use the word we don't take this one personally. So why don't we just put I instead of we? It says, I don't deserve bad, but I do deserve good. So what is your first thought about this statement? Do you agree or disagree? Oh, I didn't mean disagree, agree. Do you agree, disagree? Maybe you wish it felt true for your life, but you're not quite comfortable with it, right? Actually, this quote is from Pastor Craig Groeschel. And then I'm going to read a bit of his message that contains this statement. So he said, what has God done in your life? What has he given you? What blessings do you take for granted? Your life, your health, your friendship, your job, your home or apartment? When you pause to really think, I promise you can see God in all things, even in the things you wish had never happened. I've always found it interesting that people ask why bad things happen to them, but they rarely ask why good things happen to them. These attitudes reflect the first belief that we don't deserve bad, but we do deserve good. This mindset is a spiritual cancer that positions the believer's own happiness as the ultimate aim rather than the glory of God. Remember, all we really deserve is hell. If you're a Christian, Christ has saved you from the pit of your sin. You've been filled with the Spirit of God. You're adopted into God's eternal family. Your life is not your own. You were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus shed for you on the cross. It is strong, right? I believe Pastor Craig's powerful words really matter for us living today. When I was getting this sermon ready, I started Thanksgiving in two ways. What Jesus talked about in the Gospels, and then what the Apostle Paul wrote about. Honestly, I think I failed. I couldn't fit both into one sermon. It would take two messages. Scott doesn't allow me to do. I'm kidding. Or at least an hour and a half, which you don't allow me to do. And also, since we have such a delicious and varied meal waiting for us today, I'll focus on just on the Thanksgiving Jesus speaks of in the Gospels. Yeah, I know, you're relieved. So in the Gospels, Jesus didn't just teach about giving thanks. He actually lived it, showing us exactly what a truly thankful life looks like. His actions show us that gratitude is an act of faith, a public witness, and a spiritual practice that holds up no matter the circumstances. One of the best examples of Jesus' thankful life is when he performed the miracles of feeding the crowds. The feeding of 5,000 is the only miracle other than the resurrection that is recorded in all four Gospels. This charity emphasis tells us how incredibly important it is in theologically, I believe. Let me read Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. It says, "And he, Jesus, directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people." We know what happened next. There was enough to feed over 5,000 people with 12 baskets of leftovers, right? Before doing this miracle, Jesus gave thanks for the tiny offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is a huge contrast to the disciples who were focused on lack and doubt. Andrew, for example, questioned the point of such a small amount of food by asking, "What is that among so many?" Jesus' thanksgiving wasn't for what he held in his hands. It was for what he knew the Father was about to do. Give thanks for the provision before it appeared is a powerful lesson in expectant faith. Gospel gratitude is not just looking back at the blessings we've received, but looking forward with the trust in what God will do next. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 17 and the story of the 10 lepers. I think this event powerfully speaks to us about how thanksgiving can totally change us. Let's read all scripture for today, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me, mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." In this story, Jesus meets 10 men with leprosy who keep their distance and cry out for mercy. He tells them to go show themselves to the priest, which was the official step required to be declared clean and allowed back into society. As they obeyed, they were all cleansed. But only one of them, a Samaritan, came back to Jesus. He came back praising God in a loud voice and fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Reflecting on this situation, Jesus asked this striking question. He said, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" I think the theological difference here is very crucial. The 9 lepers absolutely felt grateful for their physical healing. Who wouldn't, right? But But their actions reveal a faith that was a transactional, meaning it was a simple exchange. They had a need. Jesus met it. And for them, their relationship with him was complete. They took the gift, but they didn't come back to the giver. In the contrast, the one who returned engaged in a surrendered act of Eucharistio, which means a deep worshipful thanksgiving that looked beyond the gift and embraced the giver. Jesus' final words to him, "Stand up and go, your faith has healed you," suggest a deeper, complete healing that includes not just the body, but the soul as well. I believe this shows us that while the nine got physical healing, only the one who came back with a grateful heart experienced a total transformation. When I researched these scriptures, I found it fascinating that Luke, the gospel writer, uses three different Greek words in this passage to clarify what healing means. So in verse 14, he says, "And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy." The word cleansed used here is katharizo in Greek. I feel like I'm very smart because this is so different. Right? I speak English a little bit and I speak fully in Korea, but I speak now Greek, so oh my gosh. But anyway, it's a katharizo. And then this means is to cleanse or purify, referring here to legal and ceremonial restoration that allow them to return to community life. This is why Jesus told them to go to the priest and have them follow the legal procedure instead of healing them immediately. Number two, in verse 15, says, "When he saw that he was healed." The word healed used here is eiomai in Greek. So eiomai means to heal or cure. This describes the physical recovery their bodies were healed. They were healed physically on their way to the priest, just as Jesus instructed. The third one, in verse 19, Jesus said to the man, "Your faith has healed you." The word healed used here is sozo in Greek. Sozo generally means to save or to make whole. It is the same word used for salvation. Luke's choice of sozo hints that the healed man's faith did more than fix his skin. It points to wholeness and even salvation. While the other nine only got physical healing, this Samaritan, by coming back to Jesus and showing gratitude, experienced the spiritual salvation. His faith wasn't just a simple acknowledgement of being healed. It was a faith that saw the kingdom of God in Christ. The nine lepers reached the first two words. They experienced the miracle of their physical illness being healed and the blessing of their social status being restored. However, they did not reach the final word, sozo. Only one Samaritan who returned to Jesus to give thanks reached that word. I believe Luke is clearly telling us what is important through these three Greek words. So this morning, I want to ask you this question. Is the gratitude you imagine, or the one you practically, actually put into your practice, the same as what Jesus taught in the Gospels? Or are you perhaps like the 9 men healed of leprosy? Are you willing to come to the Lord with your problems, but then the solution to those problems is the end of your relationship with Him? Or are you able to give thanks to the Lord first, recognizing He's greater than your problems? I love the saying, first things first. I often pause when I have to make decisions. And when that happens, I calmly ask myself, what comes first? Then I put that first. Applying this principle to the small task is very effective and even easy. But if I try to apply it to my whole life, I think that would be a completely different ballgame, right? As Pastor Brad Sumner once said, if God is not first in our lives, everything else is out of order. If God isn't first in our lives, everything else is out of order. For the 9 healed lepers, their greatest priority was their own healing. And once they got it, they probably just went back to their normal lives. But the one healed leper, despite being a Samaritan who was often treated poorly, prioritized Jesus, the healer, over his own restored body. I think that is why he was able to come back to the Lord and offer an act of worshipful thanksgiving. He did first things first, and the result was salvation that went beyond simple physical healing and led to eternal life. So I think the first things first is not just a nice saying. I believe it is life-changing truth. Our gratitude must start with and be completely centered on Christ, not our circumstances. When gratitude to God is the very first thing in our hearts, it has to be the first thing expressed in our words, our walks of mercy, our prayers, and our relationships. This is the path to a truly meaningful life, a life that is not just thankful for what it has, but is thankful for the giver. And in doing so, becomes a living testament to His unending grace. So this morning, before I finish my sermon, I'd like to offer a few simple practical ideas to live out this kind of gratitude. The first one is this: embrace gratitude as a practice. As the story of the leper shows, feeling grateful is not enough. It must become an act of worship and consistent spiritual practice. This requires you to be intentional. Let me say again, this requires you to be intentional. Starting the day with thanks, acknowledging even basic blessings like life itself, is a simple yet powerful way to grow a thankful heart. The more you practice being thankful, the easier and more natural it becomes. So number 2, give thanks in all circumstances. I believe the most radical part of gospel gratitude is the call to give thanks in all circumstances. Right? This is not a command to be thankful for suffering, but to be thankful in the suffering. Trusting in God's control and His ability to use trials to help us grow spiritually. This perspective changes hardship from a punishment into a classroom for faith and perseverance. Jesus gave thanks at the Last Supper, even though he faced betrayal and death, which teaches us that gratitude is an act of obedience and faith, regardless of how we feel. Last one is this: acknowledge the giver, not just the gift. The lesson from the one grateful leper is that true well-being comes from a relationship with the giver, not just from the gift of healing. This principle is the very core of the Christian life, I believe. While a life filled with the blessings is wonderful, right? Ultimate joy and peace are found in a surrendered relationship with Christ, which goes beyond what's happening around us. So a practice of gratitude should include appreciating God for His character, His faithfulness, and His constant presence, especially during trials. As Pastor Chip Ingram has said, when we actively and proactively give thanks, it takes the focus off our problems and shifts it to God and who He is. I believe it is a discipline that strengthens our faith and brings us closer to God. In a world that often just takes God's blessings for granted, this ancient Samaritan leper is our model for the kind of faith-filled gratitude that allows us to receive not just the temporary healing, but eternal salvation, I believe. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us today that every good thing in our lives comes from you. Teach us to be like the one who came back, not just thankful for the gifts, but thankful for you, the giver. When life is good, help us to remember you. And life is hard, help us to still trust you and give thanks, knowing you are always faithful. Lord, help us to live every day with first things first, keeping you at the center of our lives. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who gives us not only healing, but wholeness and eternal life. We give all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.